following that beat hits, you should already know who's on the show today.
That's right. Who we got, Will?
My boy, my brother, JT.
What's going on, team?
With Long Cut. Good, dude. We got a great topic today, too. But if you guys don't know, if you missed the first one with JT being here, JT's a country artist, country rap artist, let me be appropriate, with a band called Long Cut. You guys are tearing it up, making some waves, putting some footprints down, doing some good shit.
The daily grind.
It's awesome, man. So, and if you're just tuning in, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all that cool stuff. You can find me on the Facebook page.
What's up, right now. Eli? Right.
What up, man? How you doing? It's good to see you, brother. Good to see you.
I love how you guys just bro up because you guys just team up against me.
Yeah, we need to, dude.
Yeah, man. I think naturally this just this side versus you.
And well, as long as it's 2-on-1.
I like it.
And I'm
I like
these odds.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I like it. No, we're excited to have you back, man. We try to get you back whenever you're either not on tour or back in town. We got a fun topic today. Man, I've been listening to that song in my truck. I'm glad we played it today. Long Cut.
Well, let's give the people, in case they didn't hear your last one, man, let's give them a quick little background of who JT is.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So, hey, so thank you so much for having me back. Last time was fun, and some good drinking. We had that proper 12.
It's all gone.
Yeah. So you can tell we had a good time. So down here in Denver, in Colorado, that's where we're based out of, Long Cut. We're a country hip-hop band. And taking some time to kind of get the holidays behind us and get teed up for 2020. And so you can check us out on any platform, how you listen to music. Any way you interact with social media, you'll find us there. Long Cut, like the dip.
Like the dip.
We're in your mouth,
I wonder
dog.
How many times people are like, oh, like Florida Georgia Line? Yeah, except for way more fucking gangster, bitch.
Yeah, it's true.
We do got a little bit of gangster in that, and I like it, though. And that's what I love about
this genre
is that, well, I when I hear gangster, I think swag.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah, I don't think gangster. I think swag.
Yeah. Remember Swagger?
Swagger.
Remember that brand?
Yeah, I do.
We went to that boy's house. I thought I was going to die.
Swagger brand.
Man, JT, we're sweater swagging today.
Listen, dude, JT knows, you know how like I know everybody? He knows everybody. And I remember at division schools, we would get our shirts made. That's the big thing in the Marine Corps. The whole term, been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah.
It kind of comes from military.
Okay.
Because you graduate a school and you get a shirt from that school that says whatever you did. And JT had a guy making our shirts. They were awesome. But he's like, yeah, man, he does this other shit too. We go to these clubs, promote a shirt. He made swag. I think he sold Swagger to Tilly's or something. He was making some money.
Oh, no
dude,
shit.
We had it at Tilly's. There's a couple more. But bro, there was another no regrets mentality. That was the one. That was the one that we had as instructors that we banged out of the back of these Silverados
and by
in downtown Oceanside.
I was just a model. I didn't even know what I was going to do. That's some shit.
Well, so you can, that's what's going on with Long Cut right now, man. We're on break, just kind of banging shirts out of the back of a Silverado, you know. But come mid-March, dog, this month, we kick off with the Moonshine Bandits. And we're going to be gone all the way until the end of the year, not only with them, but with Lenny Cooper. Opportunities opening up on the Southeast and the Northeast. In New York again. Hopefully we can get out to Maine, get some lobster. So we got a busy, busy 2020.
Man, I hear some of those guys' music and stuff. I'm so excited for you guys because I still hear yours and I'm like, man, these guys are solid. They're banging. Dude.
Think so, man.
You got some bangers. Yeah. But back to my story, fucker.
Go ahead, man. Tell your story. We got all night.
He's like, hey, come help me with this club or whatever. We're gonna help this guy out, throw some t-shirts out. You know, they brought some girls and cool. We're out in Southern California just promoting that brand and all that good stuff. And then we go, he's like, yeah, we're going to go back to this dude's house. Bro, this house was amazing.
Massive.
You remember that house?
Yeah.
And big ass house, right? You think like, not
I think last time I was here, we talked about it.
But listen though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
You loved it.
But listen, how much was that house, you think? Millions.
3 million.
Ooh. No, bigger, more than that.
That's a pretty house, bro.
Now that I'm in real estate, dude, it was in SoCal.
You think so?
Yeah.
Laguna Niguel.
I know. But here's my thing. Not a goddamn light in that fucking house.
Really?
Candles. I swear to God.
No shit.
Bro, this house was so dark. Like, purposefully dark. Purple lights were in places. And then there was candles. people doing shit on tables.
That sounds sexy, man.
Not just it was sensual. It was, dude. That's a
good word for it.
You're like watching
Braille on the wall as you walk,
bro.
Let you know.
It was funny. It was like Al Capone suite, modern, dude. But like the bottom line is, I didn't know what the fuck I walked into, and where my head was at back then, dude. I was like, man, fuck's going on?
This is some homie's house or what?
Man, I think I've always kind of been in the entertainment industry, man. You know, we would host parties back then. We'd work full-time as Marines, and on the weekends, we'd rent out a club and, you know, put on a party. I remember we had our first one. We called it Summer Solace.
Yeah.
And Pito got everybody came out. And crazy. So we did that, man. And Mike.
Is that where we were promoting the shirts? That might have been that.
That's when I was promoting the shirts and all that. I
mean, that's when we went to this dude's house.
Yep. That's him. Mike Caputo, dude.
So here's what I'm getting at as far as like him just always knowing people or just diving into shit. The topic today, we don't have a title for it. I've got to give you some context on where I want to go with it, but I want to help people who are maybe wanting to dive into stuff or maybe newer in it. You see a lot of like what's popular nowadays, real estate, popular, right? HGTV's everywhere, fixing flips. Everyone wants to learn how to do that. Being a realtor, being an interior designer, being a stager, being a digital marketer. There's a lot of romantic shit out there, and people suck at it. And I think sometimes, not everyone, just in general, right? But I think there's a little bit of, and this might have been around for a long time, but I'm just noticing it from my lens. But I think a lot of people tend to gravitate toward what's popular. They try to make a quick buck. Hence, multi-level marketing. No disrespect to the real grinders, I guess, who make that work. No disrespect. But people tend to, like, gravitate for a buck to, like, what's popular versus just figuring out what your strengths are and who you are and allowing that to blossom and just keeping an open mind on a lot of different perspectives and then finding where you can grow. For example, I don't look like a realtor. Right? What's that look for?
Well, I'm trying to imagine you in, like, do you show up with a tie?
I have before. People think I'm CIA.
Yeah.
They think I'm just ready to shoot someone.
Mm-hmm. You show up in your booty? And then I say, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of times. But, and you got to know what you're doing. If you're going to dress down, you got to know what you're doing. But the bottom line is, I figured out how to make real estate mine, not me real estate. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. As in, I figured out how my strengths and my experiences and my knowledge of what I did with the fitness company and how we were finding locations for that and understanding some actual real estate from that. I learned how to take my knowledge of law, because criminal law and civil law are in the same damn book. So I knew a lot of the contract stuff from police work, and I knew how to manage people's stress. I knew how to think 10 steps ahead and prepare people for what's coming. And for me, our battlefield is somewhat known. Unlike our battlefield in the Marine Corps, you might not ever know. This one's known. We're going to have an inspection. We're going to have a resolution. We're going to have an appraisal. Like some of these things are just inevitable. So when you can prepare people for how to approach that and how to manage their stress prior to them being emotionally connected to that process already, a lot better. Does that make sense? Like Absolutely. Training Marines before they're getting shot at. You can't go teaching someone when they're getting shot at. They're going to lose their fucking mind. And they're just already invested in that, right? Like it's hard to get them to listen. But long story short, I learned how to take my strengths and just who I am as a person and apply that to an industry. I made this industry mine. Not in a selfish way. Not like, hey, I own real estate. I'm the shit. No. You got to own it. You got to make whatever you do yours.
In a simple way, too.
Yeah.
You start overthinking, like, you think about real estate. Right now, I can stress myself out trying to think about what it would take to do what you do.
And I think it's a good topic for today because with what you do, man, I mean—
Well, not only
you're doing you're the definition of breaking down barriers and being who you are and making an industry conform to who you already are, right?
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go today. Right. Was like, look, not you have context on what I want to talk about. Of like, man, nothing about me says real estate on the surface, but if you get to know me and what I'm good at, and my strengths, and then you get to understand real estate, you realize real quick. Not only is this a great fit, enough people aren't doing this. Mm-hmm. How it should be done. We're making change.
You're putting that gangster behind it, like how we're swagging it up. You're swagging real estate up.
Same thing with you, right? Like you and I come from a very similar background, right? Gunslingers. But now you're in this entertainment side, and not only entertainment side, but country rap, which now is starting to pick up. Now it's starting to be a thing. But when you guys are first, and I know there's predecessors that you always give credit. Just, Damon Jones and some of these guys have been around forever. You always pay it forward.
Damon
Jones, I'm sorry. Damon Jones.
Pronounced Damon.
Demon.
He has a song that he just released.
Can I just
called Demon? And the opening on his album, his album's called Demon.
Yeah.
And the first song's called Demon. And he comes out and he goes, "My name's pronounced Demon."
I got it.
And it's for guys like you, dog.
If you talk with a fucking accent, it sounds like Demon. Come holler at me. Come to my side of the
neighborhood. How's he spell it, though?
D-E-M-U-N.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Demon. Demon.
But you know what I'm saying. The point is, you always pay it forward. So I'm not... Full disclosure, I know you're not the first country rap. I get that. You've always paid it forward. You've always given respect. However, when you guys came around, it was still clear that it was not quite a thing or popular to the masses.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Awesome. But that's where I want to dive into. It's like, hey, man, how are you? What does your process look like as far as like Marine Corps into entertainment stuff that you were dabbling into music, into all that stuff, and well, how like, it came together,
one thing,
man?
You just said, you were like, you know, instead of, you know, real estate coming and finding me as well. It was a relationship that it worked out for you to be where you're at. You know, it wasn't something that you forced.
Nope.
It wasn't something that somebody had a gun to your head saying you're going to do this.
I had to, right? I had to be open. And this might be something that maybe you can speak on. So when I'm going through it, I leave that fitness company and I want to do some other stuff. And I was kind of taking a hiatus for a couple months. I was helping a buddy with a gym and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to dive into, but I was done with the fitness stuff. And I remember Kate came to me and she's like, "Hey, you know, you ever wonder like if you put 16 hours a day into your own business, what that would look like?" And I go, "No, I haven't quite thought. Like I've always, you know, Marine Corps, police work, mercenary work, life of service, man. I've always worked for an organization. I never quite thought myself as an entrepreneur quite yet. And Marine Corps roots, you got to earn your shit." So the word entrepreneur has just been getting thrown around the last 5 years.
And it's an intimidating word.
Yeah. And it's just fancy, dude. So I was purposefully dodging that word because I didn't want to just put the tribal tattoo on me and be cute like everyone else. So when she said that, I said, "You know what? Man, I haven't thought too much about that." And then, bless her heart, she says, "Well, have you thought about real estate?" I laugh. Right. And I was like, "Hey."
Because of what your perspective.
She was like, "What do you like?" I was like, "What the fuck about me makes you think real estate?" Like, man, you know me better than I know me, because you said that and I feel like you got a joke coming. You fucking with me? What are you talking about, right? Well, and she's like, I've had some friends that have done it. They seem like they do pretty decent. And you're great with people and you're great with this and you're great with that. She saw it for more than I did at the moment. The bottom line was I was open to it. And I think that's where things have to start. You're not really going to know. Like, once you know yourself, assuming that you know who you are and your strengths and your qualities and what you enjoy to do, that's one step. That's a hard step. However, if you're not open to stuff, it's going to be really hard for you to like find those ways. Because again, man, like I didn't really know all that entailed to real estate and how much of a platform it's been for us until I kind of dove deeper. But the bottom line was I was open to that, you know, just to hearing what people had to say about it. I wonder, like, is that where it started for you too? Like, I know you were singing for a while and doing some stuff up in Estes Park and doing some different things. And then I remember you beyond the singing. I remember you rapping in the Marine Corps, making fun of us all the time, and it pissed me off because I couldn't. Any full disclosure: if someone raps at you, you don't get to punch them.
Yeah, you can't.
You have to rap back.
Yeah,
I can't. Well, really? I'm just highly fortunate and blessed to be able to take music and an art form, and then put business behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, and be able to now do both those.
Did you have any?
But how did that go though? Like, how did you go from, not to interrupt you, Eli? Because I remember you doing some singing stuff, right? How did it go from that? But I've always known. Hey, real talk, dude. You've always loved hip-hop as well.
I have.
And you've always been fucking good at it. When did that merger happen? Like when you, because I know when you first bounced on the scene with some country music, there was a little bit of singing there, and you're dabbling into that stuff. But then when did that merge happen where you started doing that rap stuff with it?
Man.
Just meeting the right people?
Music's a journey, man. Yep. You know, just like where we're sitting right now, you know, everything you've done has created the man who you are to be able to host this. Same thing with you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with Brian and I, is that, you know, him and I legitimately had a journey that saw eye to eye of what we were influenced growing up when I was in the Marine Corps and he was in his 20s. You know, we had a parallel journey when it came to music. And so he then branched out and did country, and I never knew about his history, and I was doing country. He never knew about my history. him and I start hanging out, writing songs, and then all of a sudden you start seeing that swag. You start picking up on little things that's like, can you rap or something? He's like, yeah. You know, and you start, and you can really start creating something because you realize now there's a lot more in this toolbox rather than just a three chord progression into a country song. We can actually start creating something that's ours and start paving an avenue with us as the point.
So it was like that relationship was just growing. You guys are writing songs and got a chorus coming up, but then someone kind of throws a little swagger to it, kind of puts that out there.
Well, and I think and it was exciting to see it because it was that fast when you know, oh, I got something.
So when did you guys come in contact with some of these other guys ahead of you? Per se, not necessarily artists, but
that's one thing I think
that are before your time. So when those,
I understand what you're saying because
how important was that? That's what I'm getting at.
Relationship and networking is massive,
and just seeing that what you want to do has kind of been done before, or someone's already kind of started doing that. How important was that to kind of link up with those guys, or see that someone's going down that path?
What's really cool is to be able to look back and realize that you have those intangible traits like commitment and stuff along those lines that give you that that discipline, because this is a relationship. I mean, how long have you and I known each other, bro? Years.
Forever. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that takes time. Yep. And a lot of people get into whatever industry, and like we were talking about earlier, they, you know, check, and why, where are my results? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, bro,
with those
who
guys,
have you been talking to?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what was really cool was that our leadership early was making that known, that this is going to be hard. This is going to be terrible, actually. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to want to quit. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you start saying, man, I really do love what I do.
Mm-hmm. You fucking better.
Right.
Because it's going to be too hard.
And
did you intentionally go out and seek relationships like that? Or did you stumble across them? Or how did that work? Like, you
both.
Knew.
Hey, so, like, for example, ways, man, I fell right into Eli's arms from heaven. That's right, what he's good at. So did you get a break like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Kidding. You got those
Eli
moments
does,
where
full
you're...
Full disclosure, he does way more work than I do. He's falling.
You know, and this is where I think it's... Okay, my grandmother, she passed away not too long ago, but she said, wake up every morning and make your bed. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing other motivational speakers start saying this. I've heard this since I was a kid. My mama told me this when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. She told my mama this. You know what I mean? This is not some new formula, because it's just because of YouTube now.
Well, Navy SEAL
and
Commander
editing,
says it.
And now they can make
deal.
It look cool.
Right.
But you know that right there, that basic fundamental, I think, was something where if I just woke up every day and said, hey, I'm going to put a little bit of effort here and a little bit more effort here. And stay commitment and stay committed. And but then you start realizing that it's easy to stay committed because I love it, right? And then you start diving a little bit more into it. You got past the love part. You're done with that. You understand you love it. Now, how can I make this a business? Well, it's a good thing that it's 2020, and there's been a lot of people before me and you that have fucked this up. And can, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It can show us what not to do.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of people out there that are actually doing it and that can show you what to do. How can you be that person to be able to not, to be influenced by greatness and learn from failure, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where to answer your question, yes, it was seeking out certain directions, but it was also being in the right time, in the right place at the right time, and making the right decisions and making the right choices to go left, not right. Don't do drugs. Say, you know, I mean, yeah, this is simple stuff, but this is what is going to set you up for success in anything.
It's actually applying.
Is for
simple
making
shit.
These right, simple decisions.
Right. Over a long period of time.
Over
too.
A long period of time.
Right. You know something I've kind of gone
can't,
into?
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, I didn't drink and drive for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
You get what I'm saying? If you drink and drive for a year, you're going to get caught.
Yeah. That fucking guy is fucking.
You get
guy.
What I mean?
Oh, I get what you mean. This fucking guy on Instagram, like, not our friend, another acquaintance, like, redid his, and it's not Alex, okay. Redid his Instagram, and because it was fake, paid likes, whatever.
Okay.
You know, remakes it, and then 2 days later, right? Because he's at like 14,000 followers, whatever. All good. And I'm not talking shit. It is what it is. You remake it. Coincidentally, after I go public about it, hey, on my thoughts on that. And then he, 2 days later, he's making a post about people like, oh, digital marketers, you think they'd practice what they preach? I'm like, dude, you just got clean 2 days ago. Yeah, fucking it's like, hey, dude, all good, man. Like, no one's gonna talk trash, but now you're bringing attention on yourself with this false narrative.
Right.
You know, like, I don't like it. But something that I do like, kind of speak on what you were saying, is we've had people go before us in real estate, obviously. And I like when there's people a little bit ahead of you and you can kind of see what everybody's doing. But what I love is, like, we're building our online real estate school. That's been done before, but not like us.
Right.
So it's about just taking things that you can from people ahead of you, but then still understanding, like, hey, it's still got to be your flavor. It's still got to be your belief system. It's still got to be from your lens, you know. But, like, I'm sure these guys that were doing the country rap thing prior to you guys gave a little confidence to that path, but then obviously still make it yours, still be you, absolutely, right? Still ball out.
And that's how you know you got the right team.
Yeah.
And this was cool too, is when you're working with people that are confident enough to have your back. You know, sometimes you can have the wrong team and it's like, you're saying everything right, but then all of a sudden I leave and you're snaking me behind my back. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Well, and so you can get a lot of that in probably any industry, but you get a lot of that in the music industry. And so for us to have the leadership and the guidance and the relationships that we have and the way that we're structured and the direction Long Cut's going, it is a blessing.
Dude, it's and you can speak on this too, man, because you've been around longer than I have with this stuff, but I think that's just people, because we're in, like, the lending world, right? Realtors, they go to different companies every goddamn week, dude. Lenders, they're hopping to different companies, and some guys make a move for the better, and that's cool, all good. But some people, man, are just chasing rates or this, mm-hmm, or that, man. And it's like, and I don't want to use the word cutthroat, because I like the phrase cutthroat. I don't mind things being cutthroat, as in, like, hey, you're good enough or you're not, and you're fucking not. But that's not it, because there's just a lot of integrity issues, and people are just kind of hopping back and forth and just wanting referral fees. Just weird shit. You've been around it for a while.
Let me ask both of you guys a question.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about coming into industries and just having the industry to conform to who you are versus you turning into somebody else who you're really not in order to fit an industry, right? In order to do that for the average person or anybody for that matter, you need to know who you are, right? And you need to know what are your standards? Who are you as a person, right? Going into something?
Well, yes and no. So let me give you some context on yes and no. I didn't know who I was as a realtor.
No, obviously. Not as a realtor, right.
And I was also in a place where I'm still figuring out who I am as a man. Dude, I was young 30s when I got into the real estate thing. I'm getting ready to have a son, putting some fucking tie on. I'm not completely dialed in with who I am per se, but I know what I'm not, right? Like,
it's a good start.
Relationships matter. Integrity matters. Doing the right thing matters. Hard work matters. So when we talk about who you are, that also comes in phases, but you need to understand what, like, before you know who you are, I think you need to understand what you stand for, right? Because then if you don't, some things are going to be for sale. Like,
and that's my question, because, like, how do you guys develop that, right? How do you go about finding out what do I stand for? I promise you, most people don't know what the fuck they stand for or who they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, and we can talk about the Marine Corps on that one. I'll let you kind of throw, I've been talking a lot, I'll let you throw something at that.
The Marine Corps definitely gave me a sense of, you know, pride, you know, to learn what that feels like.
Identity.
Take pride.
Identity?
Not identity. I think when you're
you are a Marine.
When you're just proud of something.
You're a part of something bigger than yourself. Right.
There we go.
What, like, you start realizing in training, even guys that, like, don't deploy, you're training for war, right? You start realizing how much you actually matter. Like, you have a role. Too, you're a part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. It's a basic, real simple fashion is, like, your uniform. You took a lot. I didn't do that as, like, growing up. I didn't wake up and polish my boots as when I was 15.
You didn't take pride in something like that.
Well, I didn't even
think
about it.
Yeah.
So it made it aware that these little details matter.
Yeah.
And so when I find myself getting off that beacon track, I remember those little details. And they're simple details, like making your bed. It's funny. Brushing your fucking teeth. You know, these simple things. You'll say, I'll do it later. I'm gonna drink one more cup of coffee, then I'll go brush my teeth.
Yeah.
What I've been doing now is brushing my teeth and not drinking the extra cup of coffee.
And what that turns into, bro, is I'll have one more drink and then I'll go home.
Right.
And then one more drink and then I'll go home.
And it sounds super simple, but people don't understand that the power of simplicity consistently. Mm-hmm. As in, no, no, no. Don't make your bed today. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. We're talking about, hey, make your bed every day and understand what that does at scale. You know, like these simple, and what matters about those is you can accomplish that. We're not biting off more than we can chew
and
right
now.
And
your bed gets better. It gets easier to make with time. Like I get now, I got it down where I can take the sheet and do one little toss and do the air thing and kind of like move it and it will sit perfect.
You know what's important about that too?
That's pretty good.
I've been thinking about this a lot because the number one statement when it comes to integrity, hey, what does integrity mean?
I love that word though.
Me too. But almost everyone that I hear from, and they're not wrong, when I say what's integrity or you hear it online, they say it's doing the right thing when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. True. That's your integrity to others though. Okay. What's your integrity to yourself? As in, if I'm cheating on my wife, if I'm not making my bed, but nobody knows. Okay, so nobody else is going to look at you off. But how are you looking at yourself? Mm-hmm. How do you carry yourself?
I'm so guilty of...
But does that make sense? Like, 100%. Hey, it's not just doing the right thing when no one's looking. That's your integrity to others. Right. When my wife's not looking, I'm not doing this. But when... you start understanding that, hey, it's not about if someone's looking or not. It's that you know.
So what's the
integrity you have with yourself, man? And like how your uniform stuff, making your bed, shining your dress shoes, it starts teaching you staples of how to take pride in yourself and just doing the right thing to yourself and then where that carries. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think just those shining shoe type of, you know, concept it, over now, what we were kids back then, 18. Now we're 35.
Old.
Now, so that's many, many years of that little tiny simple step, you know, but you got so good at it. And now, like, you know, just talking with the references of polishing shoes at 35, I'm the best shoe polisher within, you know, my distance right here. And as a business owner, if you've committed to something or, you know, music or real estate or something, you plant that first seed and you understand that you can't stop time.
Right.
You know, so I always think that where's Long Cut going to be 5 years from now? Where's Long Cut going to be 10 years from now? If we're moving at this same pace, it's not this pace.
Yep.
It's this pace. You know what I mean? Because now that gives me and it sparks motivation to wake up and achieve that little growth rather than sitting there looking at all the resources online of all these scams and all these tactics over a get rich quick or whatever. There's nothing quick about nothing. So the second we can get that understood, then you can really start making some moves. Or we're just going to sit here and wait and we're just going to continue to talk.
Yeah.
Now see where I do understand where some of these realtors are at. It's just maybe they're not where we're at quite yet, because I come from the angle where I didn't grow up learning anything cool like that. You know, I didn't.
But the
concept is cool, but I didn't grow up learning really anything like that. And I learned all that shit just through my own fuck ups. I tried every get rich scheme there was out there. If I were a realtor 15 years ago, I would be going brokerage to brokerage looking for the next better split. Like, I think that's why I see where a lot of these people are coming from, because I was there a long time ago and I just had to fuck up my way through
it. Yeah, but did you, like, take anybody's money?
No.
Did you lie, cheat, or steal?
I stole food one time.
No, I mean, like, in real estate.
No.
And that's what I'm getting at, though. Like, I understand what you're saying as far as, like, trying every scheme and scheme and maneuver of making money and this and that. Yeah, but at some point to your core, you were still going to go be a good guy.
And nothing illegal or anything but like that. But like you said, you see that $99 course. I was putting that course on a credit card to try and learn some faster way to do something. And
that's probably just your ambition to want to be great. You just didn't have direction quite yet. You were learning. You
and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, though.
At all. Because
you learn from it.
If
you don't learn from it, then.
Yeah. Well, true. And again, like who you are, like you're not lying, you're not cheating, you're not stealing from people. But then once you start getting a grasp, again, like making something yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I look like this in real estate. There's, you know, some days I put on a button down. Some days I look like this.
Mm-hmm.
Days I look like this, I do better. Sometimes I feel like people are almost more comfortable with me when I'm dressed down. I'm such a big guy. When I come in the suit and it's starched and looks great, like, man, people are like, what are you, CIA?
Well, and dude,
it's interesting. Now, I still don't mind dressing up for certain functions and things like that. But the bottom line is a lot of my network that I work with, they knew me from the gym. They knew me from being a cop. I got to listen to my audience. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. And it's no disrespect to a guy, Keller Williams, that's been in the game 30 years. Hey, suck it easy, homie.
Well, that's a formula that's been working for 30 years. You know?
I mean, well, and not for 30, for him.
For him, yeah, exactly.
But when I'm looking at my audience and how people remember me and how people are used to me, you know me from gym clothes and just putting in some work, and then I show up to your house in a suit. Man, I had a friend, I literally had a friend call me on it. I go out on a Saturday to show him homes. I'm out with my family. He found something last minute. I'm like, yep, hey, dude, I'm a little dressed down, but I'll see you. And he's like, yeah, no sweat, bro. Cool. And I remember when I first started real estate, a guy told me, don't ever get caught in front of a client out being dressed. Mm-hmm. You better dress to impress you. And it's a guy who works in Cherry Creek North. And hey, all good. But again, that wasn't his narrative. That was what somebody told him. Mm-hmm. All good. Well, look, dude.
And maybe it's worked for him.
It doesn't. Maybe it does. Well, but here's my deal. I'm in grind mode. So I'm not going to not go. I know enough about me. Look, man, I'm going to go. So I'm in jeans and a flannel. And I roll up, right? And I was like, hey, man. He's like, oh, finally. And I go, what? He's like, yeah, about time. And I go, I'm out late. And he's like, no, dude, you took that suit off. Thank God. I was like, what? He's like, man, like, for a minute, I just thought you're trying to sell me something. Like, dude, mm-hmm. I'm your guy. Like, you don't need to dress like that. It almost was off-putting. Mm-hmm. To people. And you know what I noticed is I started reflecting on other people I'd spoken to dressed up and why it felt different. I thought it was because I was new. Hey, am I new? Am I not saying something right? And am I taking care of these people? So I just like, oh, you know what? Let me change it up. Mm-hmm. I change it up. I wear jeans and flannels or just a normal button down plaid, whatever. Right. Or like a hoodie with a jacket like this. People are so much more personable mm-hmm. with me. And I'm more approachable and they listen to me and I'm not giving them the impression, for whatever reason it was, that I was there to put this impression on them and like, oh, I'm in my sales mode now. Whatever. Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. It fucking is what it is. But the way that I dress, and he'll tell you, he's been around me long enough. Look, man, there's a rhyme and reason to every fucking thing about what I do. I'm way more calculated than maybe most might think, right? And that's just the nature of who I am. But that was the reasoning behind it. So I start dressing down, becoming more approachable and just getting back. Not that I don't enjoy dressing up, but this is more me, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? Mm-hmm. Client after client. And it's just more personable. And it's, look, man, I'm getting them to listen to me more. They're not listening to my fucking suit. They're listening to what I got to say and about how we're going to approach something.
Your subconscious is paying attention to other things that matter, too, rather than if your shoes are matching your tires.
Well, true. And here, well, that's true. And look, man, we go out and look at a lot of developments, a lot of investment homes. We're out on the block every day. You're probably not best in dress shoes for that in the first place. Secondly, look, I got friends that wear suits that are in real estate. They look phenomenal. They like dressing that way. It works for them. I'm all good. I'm not here to tell you don't wear a suit. I'm here to say there's rhyme and reason to what the fuck I do. Have rhyme and reason to what the fuck you do. So that's just my audience, and that's how I've been responded to. So that's how we cut video. That's how we do a lot of stuff. And now the more I'm like this, the more that's just been the expectation. If I dress a certain way, it might be off-putting. Again,
you know what's challenging, though?
My story.
Is spending so much time in the military and then coming out of the military, like you became who you were in the Marine Corps.
Who you needed to be.
Who you need to be, for sure.
Who you need to be.
But there's a lot of emptiness that you have that you got to fill up, you know, once you step out. You know, like hobbies, little things, you know what I'm saying? Not let alone what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it, real quick? What does that look like, man? When you go from you're in, your time's up, you're flying home, is there any sort of like, I don't know, like you go to, like you just have surgery and then you go to the fucking PT and he takes you through the exercises.
There's a course they get you set up in and help you transition, you know, when it comes to how to write a resume or how to, you know, conduct an interview.
Really?
Yeah. And there's like career counselors that step in that will kind of help you get a there's a lot of benefits. Okay. There really are. Okay. I'm not going to take away from it.
So there's something in place when it's like, it's not just like 100 to 0.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you want milk in your cereal, you're going to have to pour it yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the cereal's there. Oh, the bowl. Cereal. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't want dry cereal, you're going to have to pick up the milk and pour it yourself. And so that was basically the hardest thing for me was, and so I moved around and tried this and tried that. And, you know, I learned my lesson by those $99.
Fucking up. Yeah, you know, trying shit.
Yeah, just trying stuff. Mm-hmm. And with music, though, music was just always there. And so as I'm trying this stuff and I'm figuring out who I am and what kind of shoes I like and boots and stuff, my music's kind of evolving without me thinking about it. I'm sure you got
four records of just making fun of me from the trucks back in the day.
I got songs that I just wrote because of situations and funny songs like that. That, you know, that's what is your practice and your training. And before you know it, 10 years of that. That's why a lot of people say it takes 10 years to, you know, that's probably in anything, you know. And the word master, too. Wow, that's a big word to use. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of development and growth that's in my journey. But now I've honed in on something that my integrity, right? We were talking about deep myself honestly believes in it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't sit there and bullshit myself.
Yeah, bro.
It's a great point.
Yeah. I sit on the shitter and I can't wait to wipe so I can get the fuck off and keep moving. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Instead of sitting there,
I'm a little slower, but I'm making a video. I'm on the shitter.
Dude, I want to be moving now. I'm excited. Here's
my thing toward multi-level marketing. If you're good at it, hey, that's great. But the masses, from my experience, right? And a lot of people's experience, which is why they fucking hate them. You don't believe in that product. You don't. Mm. And usually more times than not, the timing of multi-level marketing companies, you got to get in so early before so that can actually work for you. The science isn't even out on your fucking product, but you're out there pushing it. And not only are you pushing the product, you're pushing other people to sell it to. And there's not even any research done on it yet, or it's in its preliminary. Oh, now's the time. It's in its prelims, and it's been legal in Canada and wherever the coronavirus just got exposed. Mm-hmm. But hey, get in now and get in early. And it's like, hey, I'm so cool with sales. I'm in sales. I'm so cool with it. Stop pushing your agenda on me, though. Right? Like, do you even believe the shit you're talking? And like, that's the thing. Believing in your music.
Right.
Believing in your process. Believing in your model within real estate. Whatever you're doing, like, you got to be good at it. And before, like him and I, right? Before the podcast, before I ever said anything about knowing anything on video, we were top 1% in the nation for production. So don't get it twisted either, right? If you're just listening now, right? I had to make sure I was good. I had to make sure I performed and I was good and I fucking earned my place at the table to say, hey, here's my lens. Not everyone. I'm not going to tell everyone what to do in this. Nope. I know enough to know, hey, man, here's my lens. But, dude, we were top 1% in the nation for Berkshire before I opened my fucking mouth. Right? So make that clear, too. While you're finding yourself, should I dress up? Should I not? Hey, lying, cheating, stealing, your integrity for yourself, your work ethic, doing a good job. Diving into something, making sure that's your path, making sure like you're good at it before you open in your mouth, right? And like we see that in real, I don't know if you guys see this a lot, probably not, but maybe with producers or with companies that want to sponsor you. We got guys recruiting us to other real estate brokerages all the time. Not going to mention one of them, but he went over to a company that kind of reminds you of multi-level marketing.
EXP Realty.
EXP.
Fuck him. Yep.
Yep. So I get we get recruited all the time. We have one guy we know personally, recruiting. Guess what? He came back. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, dude, I'm not mad you came back, but why are you pushing that agenda? You know, because if you recruit me and my team, you get paid on us coming to there. You don't. Anytime we do a deal, you're gonna make a little money on it because you recruited us. Mm-hmm. Like, look, man, like that is so fucking toxic. Mm-hmm. That's like me getting paid by an inspector. Right? Mm-hmm. I can't get backdoor money. If I'm getting backdoor money, am I suggesting these people to you because they do a good job or because they're going to fucking pay me? That's a different agenda, man. It's why you can't fucking gamble on sports if you play. Like, people are mad at Pete Rose. Oh, what's the big deal? Look, love Pete Rose. Here's the big deal. He fucking gambled on the games he was playing. Now, he said that he was always betting to win, but here's the problem. Imagine if you make it legal for athletes to bet on their own games. And then what if somebody drops the ball and it fucks up the spread? Or they drop the ball and they don't score the last touchdown to win. You're going to think you threw the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't. But that's going to be the fucking narrative now. It's the same thing, man. Like, I can't go get backdoor money from everyone like that because is it a good product? Or am I just making fucking money on it? Same thing with EXP, man. Like, do you have good realtors? Are we important if we come over here, or are you just trying to fucking make a buck? You didn't even believe in it. You're back over here at Berkshire.
Well, but there's no reason to tell. It comes down to the person. And that's the thing. It's not even company. It's just
Muddy
the individual
water,
doing it.
Make yeah. that song, yeah, Muddy yeah. Water.
It's probably already won out.
That's a good song title.
Already won
but
out.
But that's, man, that's where, and I think that's where, you know, you could probably speak a little bit as far as companies wanting to sponsor you or put you on tour, producers or maybe a clothing company that wants to sponsor Long Cut, but like, you can just tell it, man, it's too soon.
Ship product or something.
These guys are just trying to, these guys are trying to use my name to make their company.
Yeah. You know, right? It's one thing is when you're doing something that you love, you're also vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful, again, to have the great leadership we have in with Long Cut is because the patience has been executed. We have been told, hey, you don't need to do that right now, or don't need to go and commit to that. You know, stay focused here. You know, this is this, you know, the type of thing.
Stay focused on the music, right?
Well, it's not only just music, but like, you know, let's take the hats that I gave y'all. Mm-hmm. That's two hats. Mm-hmm. It's two different kinds of hats, mm-hmm. right? That's two options that I'm giving somebody. Mm-hmm. I add a shirt. That's three options now. I put a sticker up there. That's four. You get what I'm getting at. A lot of people think that if they have 10 hats and 10 different shirts and five stickers and four koozies that they have a successful merch setup. And that was me. I was thinking that initially. I was guilty of that. Kind of like the perception of what a realtor is, the perception of what a successful merch setup is. And the leadership demon was like, hey, big dog, look at this. And he broke it down with the math. It all washes out. But we need something simple. We need a sharp knife. Mm-hmm. We don't need nothing fancy. We don't need nothing sexy, but we need to kill every time we draw it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're at now, is understanding the reality of where we're at so we can have growth and so we can be excited when we see 200,000 streams. Okay, yeah, that's not millions, but man, dude, we had 50,000 last month. So we're growing.
Yeah.
And now we're in the millions. Yeah. It's pretty freaking cool.
You know
cool,
what that reminds me of? It reminds me of just a football
thank you.
Reference.
Thank you.
Remember the...
It's a little black and white ball, right? Kick it around.
Brown.
Got it.
Black.
That was making a cut joke. No, I was helping your joke, bro.
Yeah. You got to say with an accent, right? Like, football.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, that was a
that's why I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, no shit.
that's the weed talking.
Yeah. You know the
I got lucky.
You know the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hang on, I got this one too. The Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fucking on it.
I'm
dude.
On it, dog.
You know what? Yeah. Hey, remember that one thing they made? That fucking yellow towel.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And the crowd would go crazy with those things. But the way it looked in the crowd, you talk about that one thing that just
branding, yeah.
pops. That was cool, impact, man. Yeah. People will use it. You spill a beer, you need to wipe your fucking forehead, whatever it is. Got a towel. Good towel. Fucking reminds me of that.
And that guy who made that towel can make a living just selling that towel.
Oh, here's what I think about
the
merch.
The second that he went out, if he goes out and tries to make a yellow hat, he's going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, you just diluted your towel.
But he probably did that
maybe,
a ton
maybe.
Coming
why
up
we
to
don't
that
talk
towel.
About the towel
coming
too much.
Up to that yeah. towel. That's right.
Well, here's my thing, right? Like, with merch and stuff we did, like with the fitness company, whatever you make, it's got to be comfortable. It's like that trucker hat you brought us. Well, someone would wear that because people will love your brand. If they love Long Cut, they're going to wear it. But it's still got to fit good. Because look, man, I've tried on some shirts when I go try on stuff. If it doesn't fit right, it doesn't matter how much mm-hmm. I like that brand. I'm not wearing that shirt if it doesn't fit right. So you still got to have that. So the product still has to be good. Mm-hmm. Well, here's my other thing to that. If you're the product, music, real estate, whatever it is, like you still gotta be good.
Yep.
You know, you still have to do it. You still have to do a good job.
Well, I've heard of rumors, and I don't know any of these people that I'm about to talk, and I don't even know if it's true. But I've heard of people, artists, buying likes. You know, like
oh yeah, dude, ton of fucking people do that. You can do that with anything. There was that guy.
So crazy.
There's a famous one. I can't remember who it was. Lil somebody. Who was
Lil somebody?
Who was gaming Spotify, bro? And before his songs like coming out or like the pre-release, he had all of these, and people posted all. It fucking blew up and went viral of him like buying Spotify listens prior to his song even being released, or like Spotify pre-saves
and
or something
get,
like
I
that.
I get investing into marketing and promotion mm-hmm. and all that, you know. But man, that avenue is a Band-Aid. And so I just kind of think about other industries that you were talking about. And it's like, why do people bust out that credit card and pay that $99? they know deep down inside it ain't gonna work, but it's
I don't think they do.
Oh, I did, but I still did it because I just wanted that instant gratification of the wheel still turning. I'm sitting there just still cranking on it, you know, even though I'm going the wrong direction.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people just haven't done real hard work. They haven't done real, real hard work to know what that actually is. I think it's different, man, when you're coming from a blue-collar background, from military, from whatever, you know, just growing up with tough parents, of just understanding hard fucking work. And then when you come into an entrepreneurial endeavor, yeah, you're going to experiment a little bit with things like that just to see what they are, but you still understand it's going to take, you knew from day one, it's going to take a long fucking time. Like, just having that understanding of consistent
hard work
over a long period of time.
Here's my thing on hard work. You can make a lot successful with hard work. Like, you know, and I want to make sure, like, our narrative when we're talking today about, like, finding what you love and what you're passionate about, and those are all great things, but, like, as you're finding your way, like, I just don't want to make it sound like there's only going to be one thing out of a trillion. That's your thing for life. And if you never find it, you're going to be broken, fat, and unhappy. No. Here's the deal. You can make a lot of career paths successful with hard work. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have hard work, you'll never be able to dive into any one of those deep enough to find out if it's for you or not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Just like relationships, man. Like, you're not, kudos to people who get married after a month. I don't believe in that shit. I just don't. But that's me. And how I correlate that to work is, you know, you bust out of the gate and you're successful your first 2 months. It means nothing yet. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to figure out, like, can I duplicate whatever I'm doing? Oh, I had a lot of friends buy houses right when I became a realtor. True story. Mm-hmm. A girl sold 6 houses in 2 months, her first 2 months of real estate. They were all friends and family. They all just happened to be buying around the time she was getting into real estate. Crushed. Didn't learn a fucking thing. Someone, like, helped her out with all of it. And, hey, cool. And I'm happy-go-lucky. Fell on her fucking face for the next 2 years.
Right.
Didn't learn a fucking thing. Like, so coming out strong out of the gate. I'm watching the Netflix series, the Formula One race cars. Mm-hmm. Guy wins a Grand Prix, his debut race. Then what? The standard. Dude, he fell on his face for a while. Just the pressure of it. And just realizing, man, like, you had a great day. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more racing to do, man. Like, quarterbacks that are rookies, Patrick Mahomes, he's impressive because there's film on him now. You can study him and he's still beating you. His first year, a rookie pitcher that you just don't have much film on, but you're super talented, man, there's going to be something there. You're going to get some traction. Once people have film on you and they can watch you, and they can watch you for 3 prior years and you're still whipping it on.
But you can't turn the whole game on for them to watch. You got to pick the right clips out,
right,
to show them. And so when
I'm getting at is the hard work, right? Is
100%. Like, diving into things, giving it 100%, and then when you're done, make sure you take the right clips out of that experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because when I sat there and landed a job in the civilian world and had to take the Marine Corps terminology and then translate it into civilian world, I mean, dude, I had to, like, Google how to do that, mm-hmm, right? But it's possible.
That's Eli's favorite, by the way. We had a whole podcast on Google one day. He's like, fucking Google it.
Google it, man. And it was amazing.
Yeah, there's more technology on your phone than the first space shuttle that landed on the damn moon.
Yeah.
And you can't figure out how to do this.
Thanks for saying that.
And now, like, when it comes to us working out deals with endorsements or sponsors or trying to lock in a venue or business with a manager, you know, those are credentials that we bring up to the table. You know, Brian's history with music and his history with financial management and his college degrees that he has, and my Marine Corps leadership and knowledge and business ownership and, mm-hmm, and failures that I bring to the table, and the fact that I'm still here and still alive, I think that shows a lot from a person. Rather than me always reading something successful, I start getting this fishy feeling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to see your failure so I can look at you now, type thing. And I think that was cool how we stepped into this genre and Demon kind of looked at us like, you know what, you guys have been grinding, mm-hmm, for a while. And he could see the maturity, you know what I'm saying?
Seasoned. Yeah.
That's where you want to be before you really start picking that direction, if you would say.
Of course.
You want to be seasoned.
Man, we're doing some stuff with real estate, man, like building our online school. And I know we're diving into just some stuff that's brand new for us, per se. But we're prepared. Like, we put in the ground. We didn't take shortcuts. Yeah, right. We didn't just want to be a real estate coach. Like, we went out and created a top 1% team, and then we became a top half percent team nationwide for Berkshire. Like, we did the work. So now that we're doing what we're doing, putting the same effort into building our school, same effort into public speaking, same effort into all that content, and we're running across people that are in that industry, and we're doing it better than them. Mm-hmm. And it's because we didn't take any shortcuts. I'm not going to build my living off of teaching someone how to do something, but I never did it myself. I'm just going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to regurgitate someone else's 7 steps. No, fuck that. Practitioner, real content, real education, real preparedness for objections comes from being a practitioner, not a fucking actor.
Right.
And we start diving into it, and all of a sudden, like, oh, our product, our school, the graphics, the editing that he's fucking doing, because he's working just as hard at that.
Google.
But he's applying just as much effort at that as we do real estate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The content that we're speaking, the material that we're making to provide for you in that school, we're putting just as much care and effort and integrity to that we did for these hundreds of deals that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. You can't replace that. But there are some people taking shortcuts and they want to teach you.
But I do think that when that person is sitting there, and again, referencing just to that moment when you're making that call and that for that credit card, I knew that this is a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. Or when I've written a song and I'm like, it's a bad song.
Idea.
Why would I put that out? You know what I mean?
But
you just don't know it at that time. And it's so frustrating later on in life, looking back, going, why did I do that? Why did I go
but that's
live
healthy,
and record
bro.
That song?
That's good,
I just
man.
Make sure,
that's
I just
want
to make sure since we're on the air.
That's the shit that keeps us humble, dude.
It does.
Yeah. I gave him a song title, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be
mine. Grime time?
Nope.
What is it?
Oh, fuck. Don't get me started. You know they made an action figure out of me.
No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I want to go ahead on air and take credit, because I do think that the real art.
Damn it.
The real art and the hard work is in the title.
What's that?
I gave him a title to a song.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I got it in my phone.
But I just want to take full credit.
Speaking of my humble
comment. It's not about the 100 bars you're going to write. It's about the title. So
Well, what was the title?
Trigger Happy.
Yeah. You want something trigger happy.
I was on pre-workout, wanted to murder someone, I bet. I don't know.
Right.
He's a different person on pre-workout.
I'm a beautiful person
Jesus
on pre-workout.
Christ.
I bet.
You catch him from like 9:30. Well, actually, no, like 8:30 to like 11:30 when that pre-workout is still in the system, bro. Ugh.
World peace.
Man. I can tell he's on pre-workout when I'm just texting with him.
Oh, dude.
Because I'll text and it'll come right back.
Did it?
Yeah, and I'm like, dang, this dude's just sitting in a car with like corn blasting. Just texting all his buddies.
Hey, bro. Let's be clear. I got long cut blasting.
Oh, you got, yeah, you did. Yeah, I heard it, man.
Yeah, that's funny, dude.
Oh, man, I always respond right away.
Yeah, you that's do, man. Me. You're very on it. And I think that's important, too, is that, you know, those little small things, those key elements, like responding fast.
Proactive.
When I was in an industry that, like, I sold cars.
And oh, shit.
Dude, there are some people around me. I'm like, dude, how do these people enjoy this so much?
Yeah.
And they've been doing it for 20 years. I couldn't last 45 days. Yeah. I was done.
Yeah.
And every time my phone gave me anxiety.
It rang, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Now it rings, and I get excited because I know when this thing rings that it's good.
Yeah.
Because we're putting in good, honest,
instead of like, what's my fucking script? Like,
dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, who was this I told?
Yeah.
And what did I tell? You know what I'm saying? It's constant.
Yeah.
You know, now
you just
got to
understand
good.
Car sales, right? So, not that I'm a forward or against it, and you know, and there's a lot of honest people that do it. And I remember getting my truck. Awesome guy. He knew a fucking thing. Mm-hmm. He knew about the truck.
Mm-hmm.
If I had questions, he could answer them. We went around. He let me enjoy it. And he understood, man, look, truck's going to sell itself or not. That's the product. I'm here as a resource, right? And the bottom line is, if you can get a deal done, if you can get financed, or if it's the right price and you're paying cash or whatever it is, you're going to buy the truck. I'm here as a resource. When people start selling the truck, telling you what you need, it becomes pitchy. When you understand your role as a car, and this is just my opinion, right? But being that resource is huge. And you put gas in it. Right, we drove it out. They never have gas in the cars, right? So we're driving. I'm like, man, I like it. And this, you know, my truck. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. So we're driving it around, and I'm like, yeah, man, I think out of the other couple I was looking at, this is my favorite interior. You know, the outside's black. I'm like, yeah, this is good. He's like, cool, man. He goes, the fuel light came on because they keep minimal gas on. He goes, hey, man, do me a favor. I got the fuel key. Let's just roll through, grab some gas in it real quick. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Nice guy. Could carry a conversation. Was cool. You could tell he cared about my experience. He didn't care if I picked that truck. He cared that I was getting the experience I needed in order to make a decision, whether it was that truck or not, right? But he knew I started to enjoy it. So we go, right? And then he gets the fuel key. He fills it up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you're going to fill the whole thing up? I'm in sales. Is he going to fill the whole thing up? He's like, yeah, you're going to take this thing with you. It's all good, man. Might as well knock it out while you're here right now. And it was a good joke because we kind of had those jokes. And I'm in sales. So I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. But he just understood
a closing joke.
Yeah. And you know, and he also knew he was saying a closing joke to me. Like, right. We understood the underlining factor there. But the bottom line was, I felt he did a good job of just being a resource. If I had questions about the truck, he knew
the person you needed. Yeah.
But just allowing me to have an experience. I'm a talker. He let me talk. I had questions about the truck. We're going over certain stuff. And he was a resource. He wasn't trying to tell me why I needed that truck. Yep. That's where people get pitchy. So I think no matter what you're doing, there's a way to figure out.
But if they can experience. Do that pitchiness in the right way, it's entertaining, and I like watching it.
Some people need it. Okay. Some people need it.
And like,
hey, you know how many chicks you can get with this minivan?
Right. I'll sit there. And we were down in Denver looking at a car, and this guy was just. He was funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He wasn't like delusional about
it. Yeah.
But then it makes it funny.
Yeah, and but he also knew
you're having a good experience.
He also knew he was entertaining us.
Mm-hmm. And he also knows, look,
lines here and there.
Yeah, but no matter how entertaining he is, if it's not the right car, you ain't going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's about him creating an experience that makes you comfortable, that gives him a chance to show you every car possible. Mm-hmm. If I'm uncomfortable to you, you might get into one and test drive one. Mm-hmm. And, I want to look at something else.
The second you get into that awkward environment,
yeah,
it's weird.
Dude, you'll literally go to a different dealership for the same damn car to just not be pressured, right?
Well, that's
but if you create that experience, you're gonna just level the playing field as far as having that person look into everything that you have in a lot possible while keeping them in line with their wants and their needs, right? But it's got to be comfortable. Again, man, it's relationships, and it's being able to, hey, how am I going to provide you value? Is it being funny and having a good time because that's what that person needs? Is it being resourceful when it's needed? Like, but understanding, like, what does this person need from me? I know what they don't need. They don't need you telling them why you need the car. You can educate them on the car, but don't fucking start talking to me about how I'm taking my kids to the mountains in the truck. No, dude. Listen to me.
Creating this vision for
I'm,
you?
No, I'm sitting by my damn self in the truck with the He's fucking move open
the
right
verbal bridge.
Yeah.
Well, and your guy, dude, that's prime example of why you shouldn't necessarily listen to what other people are doing and telling you how to be. Because in one case, we're talking about how being pitchy and salesy can ruin the fucking deal. But then in your case, right. You're like, the guy was entertaining about it. He knew what he was doing.
That's
he was
why
a character.
I used that as an example.
Yeah. And it's like, it's that perfect example of doing whatever the fuck is unique to you and what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And going back to your comment earlier, because I liked it about being so excited to get off the shitter after you're wiping your ass because you're so pumped to go and, you know, do the shit that you want to be doing. People need to look at their day. And if you don't feel like that when you're taking a shit, right? If you're dying to go on vacation every quarter because you just can't fucking stand what you're doing and you just need to relax every 3 months or whatever, you should probably look at what you're doing or the way that you're doing it. Because when you can tap into that feeling that you have right there, dude, where you're so excited to wipe your ass so you can get back to it, that's fucking priceless, bro. And that's like, that's fulfillment right there, dude.
It is. And what's really cool is that there's only a couple times in my life, and I checked it up real fast, that I was in a situation where I didn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. Every second in the Marine Corps I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. My childhood I enjoyed. I did what I wanted to do. I pursued directions that I wanted to go, and there's been times that I've been in situations that I had to stand on my head for a little bit and be uncomfortable, but because for a bigger lesson, maybe, you know, and to now, like, wake up every day and call Brian and then hear it from him too, or I call you and I can hear it from you too,
yep.
It doesn't matter, not just music, it's just that thing, you know what I'm saying? And like, I call Tyler Ackerman from Cypress Springs, that's a band. And I call him all the time. I have nothing to talk about with him sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want to just
feel it. Do that to Eli.
Yeah, I'll call Jesse Cornette. You know, I'll call Chad Williams. Yeah. And it's like, Chad, I called him four or five times a day, and he had his phone on silent, and it was pissing me off. And he's like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, nothing.
Dude, that's fucking
just want to talk,
bro.
Man.
Yeah.
That's fucking
You know, like, I have some ideas. Yeah. I just want to fire him.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been sitting here going ballistic in my own mind, and I got to get him out. Because who knows, one of these 100 ideas might spark something that sparks something.
I'm a verbal guy, too. Right. Yeah. So, like, a lot of times if I have an idea and it's not quite massaged, the more I talk about it, the more I massage it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll be telling him stuff that's not even, and bless your heart, you got to hear a lot of shit that's like, dude, it comes down to leadership too. Like, not only am I talking ideas that aren't quite massaged, if I feel something from an employee, I might be firing him 6 months from now, but I just felt it, I talk about it. But when him and I were first working together, he's like, oh, shit, like.
Well, and now I'm starting to see that.
Wait, hold on. We're getting rid of the whole team. Like, no, in a year.
Yeah.
In a year. But not right now. But, man, because I feel stuff so early on. But what him and I had to grow into was like, oh, hey, I'm not making this decision right now. I'm just getting it out. Because the more I talk and get it out, the more I can massage that and process it. And then I'll let it sit for a bit. But I got to get it out. But you have to be careful doing that, because, like, getting it out, he might think I'm, like, burning the fucking house
down. Now I've gotten better at who I'm talking with. I let it be known that here's the timeline, kind of. So now, like, it doesn't, because I'll stress a guy out fast. Yeah. I'll stress my old lady out fast.
Ask him.
Yeah, because she's like, we're doing this now? You know, I'm like, no, this is, like, 2 years from now. Yeah. Or, you know, like... You know, 244 days, then we'll step. You know,
Well, honestly, I'm starting to realize what a skill set that actually is and how beneficial it can be. And I'm trying to be better at doing that myself, at just articulating. You know what I mean? Because there's people that feel all this shit that you guys are feeling and stuff, but they just can't articulate it. And
well, here's the problem.
It's harder to make it real if you can't articulate it.
You have a lot of you have a lot of people that just talk a lot.
Yeah.
So when people talk a lot and there's not direction with it, or they're not actually pinpointing something, they're just venting, or, you know, they're reckless. They're going back and forth and they're always changing their mind. They can't stick to something. So the problem is, on the surface, guys like you and I that peg something early on, either an idea or an action plan, but it's not quite massaged and we got to talk about it. If someone doesn't know you quite yet, like, they might relate that to that crazy talk over there. It's not the same.
Well, like this morning, I had I have a street team. You know, when I say that, what I mean by that?
Yeah, like crew of people. They support you wherever you're going.
Drug dealers?
No,
not. Slap your stickers on.
That's the cop in me.
Man,
that's the cop in me. Like, oh, we don't call them drug dealers anymore, Officer Grimes. We call them street teams. No.
I was Deftone street team way back in the day, bro. Like, eighth grade. Yeah.
Just where I leave.
We have a powerful street team, you know, and it was just, you know, for me this morning, I want to be able to be productive, but not be confusing. Does that make sense?
No, so, it's confusing.
So I'm on the phone, and I'm trying to explain what I want to get accomplished, and I find myself after, like, 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, fuck, I've been on one.
Oh, yeah, you're going way too far.
And this person does not know me that
pre-workout.
Well.
Pre-workout, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on pre-workout mode. And so I had to stop, and I was like, listen, you got to understand, this is for next year.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's, like, over here going, okay, let me get my pen, my paper. Now, you know, like, this is just an idea.
Yep,
and it's a great idea.
Yep.
And you're in this idea, you know. And so that was something now I learned over time. And I'm now in
preface.
Reference the timeline. Let them know, hey, this is just a seed.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, and this is where this could go.
Yeah, I get better feedback from the person I'm talking with.
Yep.
You know? So that would be something to take away if someone's looking at bouncing ideas off, is create the timeline, set the context, you know, paint that picture for them, like, because that's what you're basically doing is selling them.
Yeah.
You know?
Always.
And you're sometimes selling yourself, too.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, nah, I'm going to get rid of them. What? Why? Nah, I don't feel it.
Brian's like that. You and Brian have a lot. You and I are a lot alike, and you and Brian are a lot alike.
Yeah, you guys are innies, and Brian and I are outies. Yeah.
Well, his strategies are a year out when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he'll keep it to himself, and I'll be like, how long have you known about this? He's like, 8 months.
Yeah.
Like, why am I just now hearing about it?
He's like, I do better at that. I talk, but there are some times where I'm just like, hey. Yeah. Remember that shit?
We talk about it. Noted.
Remember Manny? That's
Manny, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
When we're like hunting dudes in in Mount Town, hunting students, fucking murking them.
Come up behind them.
He would just, I don't know why that would always work. But he'd be like, hey, doggy, hey, do it. And you're like, yeah, do that thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It didn't mean anything.
His thumb.
Thumb. It didn't mean. It didn't mean anything. But every time you did it, whatever I was thinking I was going to go do.
You knew it.
Yeah. I was just going to go do that, and then you take credit for it. Hey,
you could be like walk into the gas station. Yeah. And he's like, yo, JT, real quick. Like, oh, I got you. You come out with the exact beverage you want. You know,
super fun. Man.
That's awesome. That's just awesome. Yep. Well, what you got coming up, man? You're going on tour.
Yeah, so let's see, man. We got a lot of things going up. Not only tour, let's kind of get it. Set the timeline.
Okay, timeline.
Wednesday.
Hold on a minute. You got a fucking NASA hat on.
Yeah, man.
Where are you going?
Dude, always taking off. All right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Always in flight. That's so come Wednesday, hop on a plane, head to Nashville, land, link up with Brian. Him and I are going to go over to Average Joe's and kind of kick back at that record label and make a move to South Carolina to link up with Lenny Cooper for a show this Friday. It's the release of his album. His album's called Still the King, Lenny Cooper. It's available for pre-order right now. We're going to link up with Cypress Spring, Tommy Chain, and put on a hell of a show this Friday night.
South Carolina.
Columbus at Sky Bar. So that's going to be cool. Then we'll drive back to Colorado. We have the Rocky Mountain Country Music Awards that's going down up in Fort Collins, Loveland area, Greeley area, Larimer County. Oh,
yep.
And you can check all that out online, Rocky Mountain Country Music Awards. We are nominated for Album of the Year.
When's that?
Spit Cup. That's on the 13th of this month.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, we're moving. And then on the 14th, we hop in the bus, we head to Missouri, and we start our tour with the Moonshine Bandits. And we got 20-something dates hitting six different states. And then directly after that, we're picking up with Lenny Cooper and touring around the Southeast. And that's going to continue all the way to October. And so this year's busy. I'm thankful for it. We're going to be having some more singles and music videos dropping. More music. Brian's writing tunes right now, dude. Yeah, man. And so there's nothing.
That's, that bit music video is coming out.
There's nothing really too much that we're changing when it comes to our strategy.
Yep.
You know, write dope shit, put out bangers, and sell merch, and play as many shows as possible in front of as many people. And this basic formula is seeming like it's going to keep on.
That's so exciting.
Getting us bigger. And, so
we're going to go to a dinner and get a plaque for being top half percent. And I'll be home by 9.
There you go.
We're going to get some sleep. Now I'm going to get up that next day and look at some fences.
Yeah.
And some properties. That's sell that. No, man, we're going to New York. Ha!
How did that go? You just got back from New York.
I mean, it was a banger. Everything I said rhymed. You know,
good.
I was the main.
Open it up? Be like, hello, no, man, my name's Grimes. Everything I'm about to say is gonna rhyme.
Yeah, something you just like
kept
that.
It rolling.
That's as far as it went. That was it. No, man, I was the main speaker out there. I was the keynote for that. We got some more stuff in April coming up there. I'm back. And then I'm going to California. I can't mention who I'm meeting.
I got you. I just got to do some fucking shit like that.
When we have us back, we have to make sure we have Brian with us this time. It's been twice now.
That's
and he
your
hasn't
fault.
Been, well,
he, Brian, you're my fucking favorite.
He went
Fuck
off to North
guy.
Carolina, man. We definitely love Colorado. But North Carolina is beautiful as well, man. Getting out there and seeing that side of the country and the Smoky Mountains.
I was stationed out there for a long time.
It's beautiful out
there.
It's
awesome.
So he's out there with some family, and that's where I'll link up with him. And
nice.
So he wanted to come. I could hear it in his voice when I was like, oh, I'm heading to day $1.00, bro. He's like, damn.
You gotta have him on, bro.
Yeah.
Will, he's so cool, man.
He wants to be here so bad,
awesome,
man.
Awesome, dude. Look, we're going to drill a fucking hole right there.
He'll love it.
The chair will be right here.
Yep. So we'll need to get that booked. And so, like, with our busy schedule, you know, we'll be back in Colorado with some windows. I'll hit those dates to you, and we'll
Monday,
make it
every
happen,
Friday.
Man.
And we could honestly, we could do another day if we had to. You just let us know what works, and we'll do that. But we got some stuff too, man. We'll be in New York, California. We got a couple things coming as far as, man, and I'm excited too because some of these talks, you know, like a couple guys had a couple of opinions, you know, and it's like, hey, man, I'm going to be me. Mm-hmm. That's what's been working. Mm-hmm. That's who if I'm going to go talk to realtors or whatever it is, and I'm going to go talk our process or what's making us successful or, hey, how you know, being attached to SOCOM or you know, just the Marine Corps in general. Hey, how that's worked for me in business. Look, man, I got to be me. Don't wrap me up. Don't tell me, you know, like you got guys telling you how to talk. And then they hear me talk. And then they're like, oh, like you're organized as fucked. Yeah, division schools. You're talking in front of some cutthroats where if you're not accurate, if you don't make any fucking sense, they're going to say that to you. You know, like we were a lot. Dude, we were way more prepared there of just studying and then teaching our class to the other instructors and have them tell you you're fucking. No, man, you're fucking stupid.
But you know what? That was our initiative.
It was.
That's what's really cool.
But it created that standard, right? And then now when I go talk, dude, it's organized and it's methodical. And no, man, if I'm telling my story, I don't need a PowerPoint. And I have to explain that. Hey, first of all, not everyone uses PowerPoints. Secondly, I do, but not for that. If I'm going to tell you my story and try to tap into you so you can feel like you understand me, you got to be focused on me, not me and my fucking clicker and looking at whatever fancy slide I got up there. Now, if I'm teaching you something, here's a buyer process. Here's a seller's process. And you got to take notes. And if I'm teaching you, yeah, we can have a PowerPoint. We can have some automated cool stuff for that. But for this, no, man, I got to have them engaged in me. So I've been teaching some of these guys our approach, because the bottom line is if you can get Marines to, even just at a squad leader level, right? Like if you can get Marines to believe in your leadership and your message to where they will potentially follow you into battle, you're doing well. Because if you're not, it's going to come out. In sales, nah, man, they'll listen and eyes full of shit, whatever, cool, have a good day.
Right.
In the Marine Corps, not our era. Because if people were scared, if you weren't locked in, dude, they're not going to let you lead. You're going to get somebody fucking killed, man. You're inadequate, right? So big deal. So a lot of how we learn how to lead and being good at what you do before you lead it, all that stuff, man, like it resonates to society as far as corporate America. But for me, I'm having to navigate a little bit and take what people have to say and kind of learn that game as far as public speaking, because I'm new to some of that. But then at the same time, understanding like, hey, just like you found a way to make real estate yours, right? And you, hey, shit gets out of the way for you. You make right. that yours in a humbling way. I don't mean like I own this shit, but like my world, I got to own it. Hey, well, same thing in speaking, man. Like, hey, I can't, just because I'm doing something new doesn't mean I need to go hear four different people all their bullshit and how because you don't have a story and because you're not a product, right. you got to have everything else be flashy but you. But the right person walks into the room, you don't need anything but that person, right? So you just have to remember, like, staying true to who you are, right? And just making sure, like, yeah, listen to stuff and take some advice when it's needed or take what you can from things, but not like, hey, dude, don't change what got you here. Mm-hmm. Don't start getting romantic. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I talk to Shantosh a lot. You know what he told me? Powerful. I'm talking to him about that kind of stuff. And he goes, we're talking about a little bit of some other military guys that are doing public speaking and consulting. Not going to name any names. That's not appropriate. But some guys that are high level now that are, you know, teaching, right? And he's like, hey, man, don't lose who you are for who you are. As in, don't let this nostalgic whatever that people see in you make you feel like you have to then present that all the time and like now you're just that. Like the guy who becomes a drill instructor that just has to go keep acting like a drill instructor because you're putting on a show. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, right? Versus like, so when I go talk now and people hear SOCOM and they hear division schools and all that shit, you know what I go talk about? Not knowing how to swim until boot camp. Not shooting a rifle until boot camp. Because they already see you a certain way. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go talk about vulnerabilities. Because I'm not fucking Superman. None of us were. But there's a process to how we went and accomplished some great things. Man, but let's start with some vulnerabilities because I think they can relate. Hence why they're in the fucking room in the first place, right? We're all scared. You're new at real estate or whatever you're doing, you're vulnerable. Let's talk about those things, right?
Whatever a guy's doing, if it's tickling good decisions,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
But you just don't want to start believing your own bullshit too much. You know what I mean? Like, you got to.
Well, I guess.
For me.
Well, I think what made myself successful in the Marine Corps was how I led, as I genuinely cared about that person. And then I saw myself get into the civilian world and I saw myself not care about certain individuals at certain times because, you know what I'm saying? Like selling cars, let's say. I'm not invested into that person. Mm-hmm. But when you take your passion, like mine's music, of course, and then all the fundamentals that I've learned over the years that I really don't get to execute all the time, but now I get to. because I got young artists that are calling me. And I get excited when I see that phone call because I want to talk and I want to lead. Yep. But I want to lead and I want to talk about things that I'm genuinely passionate about. I don't want to sit here and good at. I don't want to talk about a Subaru because I have to.
Yep.
Dude, you know what I loved about the Marine Corps? And then I'll leave it at this, right? Because this is, I think, not that everything about the Marine Corps is pleasurable. I did love, no matter what your rank was, if you were a piece of shit, man, Marines wouldn't listen to you.
Yeah.
They might say, Roger that, Gunny, or yes, Sergeant. But then they're going to go do what they're going to do. They're not going to, it didn't matter your rank. And I love that, like, hey, respect people's rank, right? But they're going to respect who you are first. And I love the salty Lance Corporal, right, to an extent, you know, or like that just didn't give a fuck unless you were good to go. You had to be good to go first. So part of you being a good leader was you're in shape. You shoot well. You know what you're fucking talking about. And you enjoy the responsibility, deliberate word, responsibility of leadership. Not pleasure, not anything else. Responsibility, because the actual practical application of leadership can be shitty sometimes. It's the responsibility and that you take pride in. But if you weren't in shape, look, dude, if you were an overweight sergeant, if you were pushing it, no, bro. And I'm talking like not guys that were just a little thicker that could run their ass off still, right. Like G, right?
Right?
I'm talking like heinous. Dudes, heinous. Guys in the fleet that got put at H&S because Lance Corporals ate their ass up.
Right.
In platoon, you know, and I just enjoyed that because it's just a constant reminder, man. Like, hey, just because you got a Sergeant Chevron, that doesn't mean shit, man. These guys are not going to respect you. They're not going to follow you. Doesn't matter what your rank is. And if you ever had to tell someone, you remember this, right? Like a sergeant would be telling one of his Marines, hey, man, Rodriguez, whoever, right? I need you to grab that. Cool. You know, like, yes. All right. Yes, Sergeant. Yeah. I got to remind them to say the rank.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, Sergeant. Like, dude.
Yeah. That's just the fuck game to the Marine Corps.
It is, but it's also, but it's coming from a sergeant that like,
yeah, if it's
probably not getting respected.
It's the sergeant who's running the sandbag working party.
But when we talk about,
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, I know a guy or two.
But what I loved about it was there's this chip on the shoulder, especially in the Marine Corps infantry. There's a chip on the shoulder of that Marine that won't fucking respect you, regardless of rank, if you're not locked on. And I think that there's something to be said there, man, because I think if you are going to lead, like if there was a different narrative where people were running around and screaming and shouting your name and disrespecting rank because we're all just in the back of an office and no one knows how proficient someone is, you believe your own bullshit. Right. You're on this pedestal versus, nope, you're a leader first before you're any rank. And you got to take that with you. And if you have, and you know, man, like all that we guys like us ever care about is respect amongst our peers.
100%. And I don't want to be an artist 5-10 years down the road and regret and have that feeling inside knowing that, you know, you're not really what you're saying you are.
Yeah.
You know?
And your peers know it. Yeah. Maybe the fans don't.
They respect your seniority, but they know. Mm. And that's what's really cool is that, you know, I don't feel that. I believe every stripe, everything that we're, every ribbon that's going to come on Long Cut in the future and that's there now has been earned. Yeah. Every fan is earned. And yeah. Our fan retention rate's huge. We meet somebody, we break bread, kneecap to kneecap.
Yeah.
And we develop that fan, and then that's that first seed of that new relationship now. So a lot of people, they might go out there and try to water one particular water it all, talk to everybody, seed it all.
Or some of those folks that have no time for anybody. But I think my, you know, like my final words of the podcast is just as you're open-minded to different industries, just if you don't know who you are, know what you're not. Big time, right? If 100%. You don't know who you are, or if you don't know who you want to be, know who you don't want to be and know what you don't stand for and find those core values that you can stand behind. And no one's too big, but no one's too small, right? So if you're, as we meet some of these guys that are quote unquote bigger than us, dude, we've been helping them with their job. You're not as impressive as I thought. Hey, no one's too big to be in a room with. We're all human. We're all earning our keep. But at the same time, don't start going down that road so far to where all of a sudden people are too small. No, no, no. Everyone. No one's too small. Also help people along the way and just do your part. Just be a good fucking dude. No matter what you're doing, I think you're going to be fine. But
I like it, man.
In the hard work, right? If you're not putting in the hard work, you're not going to be able to dive into something long enough to realize if it's yours. And if you got a niche at it, right?
Can I say one thing before we end?
Do it, bro.
You say whatever you want.
Dude, you just said it right now when you said hard work. I had a flashback. And I hope somebody's listening that knows this guy. Gunnery Sergeant Fitzgerald.
Okay.
He was our company guns. And he would come out to the battalion formation, company formation. He'd go, "It takes a little." And everybody would go, "Hard work, work." Right? The whole.
Yeah.
And dude. Yeah. It would turn the morning into like Balboa status, man.
That sounds like an intro to a song now, man.
You know what? Let me add to that a little bit because there's some guys out there that have that type of energy and that get guys going in that type of theater. And then you also got guys like Gunny Scott that just loves Marines, loves the Marine Corps. And his love for the Marine Corps just made you work hard for him.
And he'd also say,
"Chicken fucker."
Yeah, chicken.
What's up, chicken? He's the guy that took his goddamn ears and nose off when you came in to check in, and he looks like Freddy Krueger to scare the fuck out of you. He's like, "Ah, I'm just fucking with you." He put his fucking ears back on, call you a chicken fucker, tell you to sit down. And you're like, what did I just walk into?
Well, I think he's beautiful, man. I think guys like that just tell me as I move forward, I always have a good time with what I'm doing because guys like him, he always had a...
Remember, he would come out to Mountain Town. He'd be like, "Gunny, get the fuck out of here, bro. Yeah. What are you doing?" He'd start asking questions like, "We got it all set up." Like, no. "I used to do it like this." Like, Gunny.
I loved it. I miss those days, man.
But it's good to understand, like, just be yourself, right? Like, don't be the guy rah-rah if you're not the rah-rah.
Well, that's what made us respect him more.
Yeah. He just loved Marines so much, man. You would just work hard for him. Like, you wanted to love the Marine Corps and love Marines like he did.
And that's
a leader.
That's
and
how then, my leadership is with Raw Records. I sit there and look at Demon Jones, and when he's telling us something, I know that he's been there. Yeah. I know that he's touched it, he's bled it, and what he's telling me is from his own experiences, not something that he's just fabricating up right now to boost his ego
because
he has the mic.
And then you got Gunny Fitzgerald, right? Like, maybe he was more of like that rah-rah guy, but it was in him and it was organic to who he is. It also works. Mm-hmm. Again, just completely two different ways of leading Marines from the same rank. They were both gunnies, both with victor units or at an instructor level, but just being true to who you are. But when you love what you do and you're putting that work in, people are going to gravitate and take what they can from you. And here we are years later, still talking. I literally mentioned Shantosh. He probably thinks if he listened to this podcast on a weekly, he would think I got a fucking thing for him. It'd be like that. He'd be like, "Hey, bro, I got to check you. What's up?" Well, but it's
talk
like
about somebody else.
I mean,
talk about another leader. Who's
talk about you?
No, don't talk about me. Don't talk about
next,
me,
bro. You're next.
No, hell no.
Yeah,
no,
there's a ton. Hey, there's
don't talk about him. Don't talk about him, and then see if he'll be like, "Hey, dog. What haven't you talked about?"
That's a great idea.
"Yeah, you want to call me weird, but you like that."
But
we're sitting at this table as leaders in our own industry and working hard, yet we're still talking about leaders that came before us. And I think it's also just a constant reminder of a great leader. It's not so much just your individual success, right? It's how many leaders that you make. It's how much of an impact that you have. Because there's guys, man, there's a long line that come from some of these names that we mentioned, and it all... You know, at least for us, it started with them, and like, how many people have we influenced along that path? And just imagine how many people are all rooted back to a Gunny Scott from all the people we've touched 10 years later. It's interesting, right? But it also gives you that perspective of staying in line with like just being true to yourself and why you're doing it in the fucking first place.
Right.
No one's too big.
Well, thanks, man, for having me, dog.
Thanks for coming, dude.
We gonna do an outro song?
We are, man. We're gonna close out. We're on Friday, right?
Oh, you're the boss. You're over there running shit.
We're here Friday. We'll see you guys Friday.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys
listening.
Why are you
blushing? You're not the boss. Are you scared?
JT Adams with Long Cut.
You going to play that song again?
I appreciate you guys so much.
You going to play that song again?
Appreciate you, man.
Play that same one.
We're going to close out with the little Long Cut guys. Again, you can check them out on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever the fuck you get your music. These guys are at. You guys got albums
and
songs
galore. Hold on. Before you play, you know he was a drummer, right?
Eli?
Yep,
I was.
You were a drummer
in a band.
I was.
Yeah. I've heard his double bass on the floor a couple times. Yeah. He's fucking good.
Double bass on the
floor. Hey, if you need a drummer,
don't need a drummer.
All right. Sorry.
I can go on the drum track too. Some good
finger drummer.
Oh shit! Yeah.
All right, guys. Monday.
All right, we'll see you guys. Happy Monday.
Thank y'all.
Long cut.
Yeah, boy.
Insane, and the team is completed. Switch it, lane to lane with the top receipt. I mean it. Check the Chevy definitions of fact that the motor jack to a level to redefine rap. I got some news I got to tell you. Superman kind of player, killing every track like I'm a Buffett rhyme slayer. Hold up, on the killer Armstrong, I'm a dealer with a mission to take over and be the track dealer. Now I'm back on the scene, same boots and same jeans, completely different vision in a top-notch team. On leaning, hellbound and rowdy. Summertime, too willing, and I'm full of.